Welcome to the program, Rob. Thank you for being with us today on this very difficult anniversary.
Yes.
So firstly, let us talk about the recent television programs examining events 20 years ago. Channel 7's program Sunday Night, which recreated some of the events that happened 20 years ago, and also the ABC's Australian Story. How distressing can retrospective stories like this be for the people that lived through those events?
See, to answer that question, Kim, we have to understand the experience of the traumatised person. You see, the problem is that for normal people, we convert our experiences into memories that fade. And when we are experiencing a trauma, that process of converting raw experience, a lived emotion, into memory doesn't really work. And it reactivates as raw lived experience again. And the experiences are terrible. So they keep going back into that terrible state. Mm-hmm. Now, what we know really helps people with trauma is to try and get things into a time perspective so that they have a sense it's over, it's receding into the past, I'm in the present, I've survived, and so on. And I think that very often the agenda for journalists and media outlets is to create engagement, to evoke emotion, to engage the audience. But that's the worst thing we want. We don't want raw emotion for the traumatised person. We want them to be able to look back and have a perspective and to reflect on it. And so I think very often there's a contradiction between the two agendas. So in those programs, there was a mixture of reflection in the past and attempt to sort of evoke the recreation, mm-hmm. and I think that's what's very destructive for people who've been through it.
Yes, well, you worked on the recovery program following the traumatic events. Can you tell us about it and some of the things people were dealing with?
Well, yes, I worked on the recovery program. We had a big recovery program here in Victoria that went for years because there were 500 Victorians on site at the time, and I worked with a number of people in my practice for a considerable period of time. What we've got to understand is that an experience like that, where people on a beautiful sunny day in a tourist destination, very beautiful place, thinking about, by comparison, ancient history of convicts and so on, and then suddenly all mayhem breaks out. And what we have to understand is that you have the actual experience of seeing having your life under threat, of seeing people who are dead and seriously injured and damaged. But you also have this sudden shift from normal, tranquil assumptions to the worst possible things happening. And that shatters the sense of security. And so for years afterwards, people are struggling to recapture a sense of confidence and security in everyday life. And just to get hold of the immense emotions that are evoked by these horrible experiences. Now, what we find often is that normal, healthy people have a capacity to simply control and put aside terrible experience. But not everyone can get away with that, because often they can only do it for a time, and then as they get exhausted, often months later, it all starts to erupt and they get the nightmares. So mm-hmm. what we tried to do there, and in terms of the history of disasters in Australia, this was really a very important learning experience. We learned a lot from what was about what was required there, but we tried to create an environment where people could actually feel safe to think about and reflect on and process their mm-hmm. experience. But that often, struggles against the wish for people to just avoid and shut it down and try and get back to normality.
Well, today is a huge commemorative time, and there is a big commemorative service taking place in just a few hours down at Port Arthur. There was also a huge service 10 years ago after the event in 2006. Yes. Are these commemorative services helpful to the survivors?
You see, again, that's not quite the right question. We have to ask, who are they helpful for? Because we've noticed that with Black Saturday, that everybody has their own perspective. Everybody's experience of the trauma is unique and different. Even people standing next to each other can have completely different experiences. In the same way as people who are in a car that hits a tree have different injuries, depending on where you're sitting. So, and then their personalities are different. So some people say my recovery is measured by the degree to which I can get back to my normal life and just get on with it and put it in the past. Other people are saying, this is the most important thing in my life. It's a turning point for everything. I can't put it out of my mind. I really need the community to recognise what a profound experience this was and to respect it.
Well, how hard is it for people who have been at the forefront of these events to deal with the gap in understanding of being there and not being there?
Enormous. And it's one of the most common things that people who've experienced trauma will say, is that very rapidly the people who previously in their lives, their friends and family have been their support network, start to divide between those who might have experienced a trauma in some other context and sort of have a sense of what they're going through, and those who haven't, who can't grasp it. You see, we live our lives, you could say, in a shell or a cocoon of a sense of normality, which is basically built out of our sense that we're secure and safe. And, you know, this, everything in our community sort of helps us build up that assumption. Now, we don't realise that's an assumption. And when the trauma happens, it shatters that assumption. So the world they're in is different. Mm-hmm. And the usual methods that they might be encouraged to do by their family and friends, you know, I'm sure if you put it behind you and got on with things or thought more positively or took your mind off it, you'd be able to get over it easier. They don't work because the world is different and they get reminded of it in multiple ways all the time. And there's a very big sense of isolation that people deal with differently. And this is why often they need to come back. And often it's around about, you know, 10 years or so that some people are really starting to get their lives going again. And so I think the 20-year is going to be very important to help people really get a sense of the past. And that's really what the recovery of trauma is about, putting things into our history and into the past.
Now, did the rapid response from the Howard government at the time, cracking down on the gun issue, did that help the people most affected by the tragedy? Did they at least feel Australia as a nation was doing something that mattered?
Enormously, because I think it confirmed for them that the political people saw it as for what it was, and that something very material was being done to make the world safer, or our part of the world safer. Yes, enormously important. And so I think you could say that there's a material aspect of that, the removal of guns, but there's a symbolic aspect, which is what really speaks to people who have experienced trauma. And the whole sense of support comes from symbols. The feeling of being understood is conveyed by symbols, you know, that actually are recognised. Yes, you get it.
Well, thanks so much for talking to us, Rob. Very, very interesting insight. And, you know, we hope the people of Port Arthur can recover in time. Thank you so much.
I'm sure they will.
Thank you for so much.
Thanks for the opportunity to talk here.